Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Floyd Mayweather Media Conference Call. Your host for today is Kelly Swanson, President of Swanson Communications. Go ahead, Ms. Swanson.
Thank you, operator. Thanks, everybody, for joining in from the World Tour to Fight Week. We are days away from a really, really big event, Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce the participants today on the call. Of course, the one and only Floyd Mayweather, joined by Leonard Ellerbe, CEO, Mayweather Promotions, and Steven Espinoza, Executive VP and General Manager of Showtime Sports. And at this time, I'll turn it over to Leonard Ellerbe to begin the call. Leonard?
Thank you, Kelly. I would like to thank everyone for joining this call today. We have a great, great event come next Saturday, and we're excited. Just want to remind everyone on the call, this is the widest distributed pay-per-view ever. The fans can get this event however, whenever. We have the most content that's out there and it's available to them wherever and however they want to get it, in addition to our normal traditional methods that we distribute our bouts on via satellite, cable, and telco providers. We have a variety of digital options. You can order now. You can go to Showtime Pay-Per-View, ShowtimePay-Per-View.com, or get the Showtime Pay-Per-View app. And it's also available to Sony PlayStation, Xbox, Apple TV, and Roku. So without further ado, I would like to bring on our partner, Steven Espinoza.
Thanks, Leonard. And we have indeed worked very hard to make this fight available as widely as possible, the maximum distribution and the maximum availability, including UFC platforms, UFC.tv, the movie theaters, closed circuit. There's really no excuse for not watching this fight. This is an event that transcends sports. It's captured the world's attention. We're seeing unprecedented interest in a number of different ways, surpassing, you know, really what we never expected to surpass in the Mayweather-Pacquiao event. This is the final fight of a once-in-generation talent. It's truly a once-in-a-lifetime event. The two best combat sport fighters in the world facing off like we've never seen them before. In Conor, we've got someone who's as unpredictable as any opponent that Floyd has ever faced, both in and out of the ring, and it's a challenge to Floyd on a whole new level. We're supporting this matchup with three high-quality matchups from Mayweather Promotions, two world title fights, headlined, of course, by one of my personal favorites as a fan, Gervonta Davis, the U.S.'s youngest world champion, defending his title. We also have the light heavyweight world championship and the all-action opening fight as well. Last point, we are encouraging fans to buy early. There will be unprecedented activity on fight day. Very possible that we're exceeding Mayweather-Pacquiao. We certainly are seeing activity which is far in excess of that. I know all of you guys have heard that before, but to give you some specifics, when we post things, we're seeing things in the millions of views. When we do a Snapchat story and it within 48 hours, it's at 4.5 to 5 million views, we know we have an unprecedented event. And in order to avoid the rush, we are reminding people to buy early as much as possible. Leonard, back to you.
Thank you, Stephen. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, none other than the money man himself, Floyd Mayweather.
Hey, everybody. I want to say thanks for having me on this call. You know, I want to thank you guys for, you know, writing about me for the last 21 years and keeping me relevant. And without the writers and the people that's supporting this event, just period, throughout my whole career, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So I just want to say, you know, to every writer that's on this phone, to every blogger that's on this phone, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you. Mayweather Promotions appreciate you. Showtime appreciates you. CBS appreciates you. MGM Grand appreciates you. Swanson Communications appreciates you. My team, my family, and my staff, everybody appreciates the stories and all the bloggers, the sports writers, and everyone. We just want to say thank you. And now we can get on with the questions.
Okay, operator, let's go ahead and open it up for the questions, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Please hold as we wait for questions. Okay, and our first question is going to come from Dan Wetzel.
Hello?
Go ahead, Mr. Wetzel.
Hello? Hey, I'm here. What's going on? How are you? I wanted to ask you about this being your last fight, and obviously boxing is a dangerous sport, and doesn't lend itself to nostalgia the way maybe like a Kobe Bryant's last game or something like that is. But as you prepare for this, do you spend any time thinking about this is the last camp, or this is going to be the last weigh-in, or do you think back at all to the start of your career?
Actually, I thought that Andre Berto, I thought that was going to be the last weigh-in. I thought that was going to be the last training camp. I mean, just honestly speaking, I thought that was going to be my last everything. But you know, you just don't never know what can happen. Now, we're here with this big event, you know. So it's just that this is my last one, ladies and gentlemen. I gave my word to Al Haymon. I gave my word to my children. And one thing I don't want to do is, break that. I gave Haymon my word. I gave my children my word. I'm going to stick to my word. This will be my last fight.
Our next question comes from Lance Pugmire of Los Angeles Times.
Hey, Floyd. Good to talk to you. As you look back, as you retrace your steps, kind of building on what Dan was asking you about, you know, you were struggling to gain attention around the area of 2005 before you aligned with Al Haymon. What was really the seminal moment for you that really turned the tide and got everyone's attention for you? Was it more like aligning with Al Haymon and following the plan that both of you guys laid out? Was it 24/7, or what exactly do you think turned the tide?
I just want to touch on something. Floyd Mayweather has never been struggling. They're just for starters. So we can clean it up right now. Floyd Mayweather has never been struggling. You know, the thing is this. Me and Al Haymon joined forces because when Al Haymon seen me, he seen not just a fighter, but a person with a sharp mind, very articulate and very smart, not just in the ring, but outside the ring. And he knew that we can be a powerful force together. Now, once again, you know, when I fought Diego Corrales, I done good numbers. When I fought Angel Man Freddie, I done good numbers. You know, in the list, before I even got to Haymon, I done good numbers. But me and Haymon together came together and had a game plan. Whereas when I was dealing with people in the past, nobody never really had a game plan. I had a game plan. Leonard had a game plan. Me and Leonard both had a game plan, but it was a missing piece. So, but when we all came together as one, that's when I came up with a game plan, and they started putting everything into play.
Yeah, and also after this fight, how do you think you're going to spend your life? I know you got Mayweather Promotions, but what else are you going to be involved in, and what are you going to be doing as the days pass?
I mean, my real estate portfolio is truly amazing. You know, I have the real estate, a real estate that's very, very huge. That's a huge part of my life. You know, my children are going to college, so that's going to take up a lot of my time because, you know, education is extremely important in my home. You know, I want my kids to do something that I wasn't able to do. I want them to be able to go to college and the businesses that I lead for them, I want them to be able to take those businesses and take them to the next level. And, you know, if I took a business and made $100 million, I want them to take it to the next level to make $400 or $500 million. So it's all about giving back. And I built different businesses and got businesses started so my children can take over someday.
Yeah, Lance and Steven, just I know you didn't ask it to me, but I'll answer it anyway. You know, I think a critical turning point in Floyd's career was buying himself out of the top rank contract. That is going out on a limb, you know, paying $750,000 with no guarantees on what's going to happen on the other side of that. Without the courage to make that move, without the foresight to make that move, you know, nothing in the rest of this is possible. So, you know, it's easy to sit back and say, you know, and forget that it all starts with taking risk. No one has this level of success without taking a risk. And that's one very tangible point where Floyd put his money where his mouth is, took the risk, and was able to reap the rewards.
Great. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Thank you, Stephen.
Our next question comes from Dan Raphael of ESPN.
Thank you very much. Hello, Floyd.
Hey, Dan. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. I wanted to – you got a little nostalgic with some of these questions. I heard you bring up Angel Manfredi and Diego Corrales, but I want to ask you a couple questions about your career. I know you're undefeated, and you obviously have dominated everywhere you've been as a professional boxer. But in your mind, in what weight class, because you've won championships from 130 up to 154 pounds, but what weight class do you believe that you were at your absolute best in, and why?
Well, I think that it all depends on certain fights. You know, you look at the Diego Corrales fight, that's what a lot of people talk about, and that was at 130. You know, and at 135, the fight against Philip Endu, people like to talk about, that was one of their favorite fights. At 140, then I talk about the fight against, you know, Arturo Gatti, because I really wasn't at 40, 140 that long. And then at 147, they like to talk about the fight against Ricky Hatton. And then at 154, they like to talk about the fight against. I mean, they said it was a hell of a fight between me and Miguel Cotto, but then they also talk about how I was dominant at 154 against Canelo. So, I guess different days you feel different ways when you go out there and compete. So, you know, I don't even want to judge myself. I just want to say that, you know, different days I feel different ways. So, and it all depends on how I feel when I go out there. I mean, because some days I don't feel, you know, up to par, but I still go out there and put on, you know, a hell of a show. And then some days I feel great, and it's not, and the show is really not that good.
Now, in your 49 wins, you had a lot of great performances, obviously, but is there one performance that stands out to you? I mean, I know there's a lot of top performances, but if you had to pick one and said, that was me on my best night, you know, whether it was some of the fights you just mentioned, or maybe it was when you won the title for the first time against Gennaro, or, you know, any number of fights. Which was the one that you said, this was the best Floyd Mayweather that there's ever been?
I can't really say. I just, you know, I don't even watch my fights. Because it's hard for me to watch my fights, because I go, it could be a fight against any guy, any of my top fights that the fans and people say that they love the most. But when I look at it, I'm like, I could have done this better. I could have done that better. Because I'm a critic of myself, and I feel like it's never good enough. When I go out there and I compete, I'm like, I could have done that better. Well, I could have done that better. I could have done that better. So it's best not to even watch it. But my kids love going on. My oldest son, and we're both my boys, and not my youngest daughter, but my three oldest, they love going on YouTube and watching it.
So then is there one where maybe, I mean, you obviously won the fight because you're unbeaten, but was there one fight in your mind where you were like, even though you got the victory, that you were maybe a little disappointed in your performance, and you said, you know what, some people thought the first fight you had with Jose Luis Castillo was perhaps a little bit close. I know you've always said that your toughest fight was against Emmanuel Augustus, which was the one that you felt like, you know what, I won the fight, but yeah, that wasn't my best.
I won the fight probably against it's been a few fights where I probably said, yeah, I won, but that wasn't my best. You know, it's been a few fights, you know. I said, you know, I won, but I wasn't at my best. But, you know, I come back and look better the next time. Well, look a lot better the next time.
All right. Floyd, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Martin Rogers of USA Today.
Hi, Floyd. When you fought Ricky Hatton in 2007, there was an incredibly strong British traveling presence. There may be the same here with McGregor because of the support that he enjoys. What do you expect the atmosphere and the level of crowd support to be like on the night, and how do you think that will be divided between yourself and him?
Well, it really doesn't have anything to do with the crowd. It has something to do with the two competitors. It can be pro McGregor, it could be pro Mayweather, you know, but it's all about excitement. You know, the people that's, it's all about giving everybody excitement. My fans as well as his fans, that's really what it's about. You know, and even with the, you know, with the Ricky Hatton fight, I want to touch on the subject so everybody know that me and Ricky Hatton actually fought in, we fought at 147, but we fought in 10-ounce gloves. So I just want to make sure everybody on the phone is aware of me and Ricky. When me and Ricky Hatton competed and fought against each other, we wore 10-ounce gloves and we was 147 pounds.
On Connor's call yesterday, somebody said that you had fought almost every fight in your career with 8-ounce gloves and not 10. Is that true? How often have you used the 8-ounce gloves and how often the 10-ounce gloves?
Well, when you're fighting at, okay, this is how the weight classes go, from 147 all the way down in boxing weight classes, you fight in 8-ounce gloves. From 154 all the way to heavyweight, you fight in 10-ounce gloves. But at one particular time in boxing, there was a lot of head trauma and head injuries. At I think around 140 pounds, 147 pounds. So they had brought 10-ounce gloves in for the fighters to wear at 147 and 140. And then I think at 135 all the way down, they were letting fighters wear 8-ounce gloves, but then they went back. I guess they wasn't getting the blood, sweat, and tears they expected to get, so they had to go back to the guys wearing 8-ounce gloves at 147 all the way down.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Brian Graham of The Guardian.
Hey, Floyd. Maybe the one bigger story in America right now than this fight has to do with the protests this weekend in Charlottesville and the president's reaction to it. You're seeing athletes who never speak on political issues like LeBron James and just today Kevin Durant really take a stand like you don't normally see. You're one of the few athletes in the world who's on that level, probably even bigger than like a LeBron James globally. I was just wondering how closely you followed what happened this weekend with the protests and if you had any thoughts on it and the president's reaction to it.
Well, I've been honestly extremely, extremely busy, so I haven't really even been on social media or been watching TV. You know, I've been extremely, extremely busy training, working out, and actually just, you know, just spending a lot of time with my daughter. But I've seen some things, and, you know what's going on down in, it's how you say it, Charlottesville?
Charlottesville, yeah, in Virginia.
Yeah, Charlottesville. It's not cool. It's not cool at all. And, you know, like I always talk about, this world needs to be more of a positive place. And, you know, I didn't really hear what the president said. I've been so focused on this event. This event is so huge. I haven't really had time to focus on anything but this event.
All right. Thanks, Floyd. Good luck.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Gareth Davies of Daily Telegraph. Mr. Davies, you have a question?
Operator, go to the next question. He'll get in queue if he wants to come back around.
Okay, great. Our next question is from Damon Martin, MMA Weekly.
Hey, Floyd, thanks for taking the time today. I was curious, it's been, you know, a very short video, but I was curious if you saw the footage that was released of Connor's sparring session with Paulie Malignaggi and what you thought of that, even though it was only about 20 seconds.
I had a chance to see it, and my thoughts is, I think it was a it was real interesting, but you know, a lot of rabbit punching, illegal rabbit punching behind the head. A lot of shots was illegal. A lot of grappling, a lot of wrestling, a lot of illegal shots. I mean, that's just my honest opinion. But you know, I think that I'm pretty sure the referee is going to be fair on both sides. I want the referee to be fair and treat both competitors, myself and Conor McGregor, treat us both, you know, be even and treat us fair. And I just want to have a good solid fight.
Did you believe that he got the knockdown on Paulie based on the video we saw?
I last time I checked, I mean, some may call it a knockdown, some may not call it a knockdown. At the end of the day, it only counts once you get under the lights. That's just the gym. You know, we can't we're sitting out here judging Paulie, a guy that's been retired and just, you know, commentating and traveling the world and not going to the gym at all, just going in there with a guy who's just working out, an athlete, period, that's just working out just every day. And honestly, it shouldn't have even went 12 rounds with a young guy that's active.
And yesterday, Floyd, they announced the referee and the judges for the fight. Robert Byrd is a referee that's known for not interfering much in fights, using his voice more than actually stepping in and separating the fighters. I want to get your reaction on that assignment of the referee, and do you think that will play a part in the fight at all, considering, you know, Conor, you know, we saw that video. He likes to clinch. He may be looking to rough you up. I mean, what do you think about the assignment that you got for the referee?
I truly believe the ref is going to do his job. The referee's job is to make sure the fighters, that he's keeping the bout clean. And I want to, you know, unless we're going to have a hell of a fight. Like I said on numerous occasions building up to this fight, I'm coming straight ahead. So he don't have nothing to worry about. And I look forward to following the Queensberry rules of boxing. And I'm pretty sure he looks forward to following the Queensberry rules of boxing. He had Joe Cortez in his training camp, which is a great thing. Even though he had Joe Cortez in his training camp, I still seen him being extremely dirty. But my job is not to worry about the referee. My job is to go out there and fight and let the referee do his job.
Yeah. Let me add on to that. We're very pleased with the selection of all the officials that we have for the entire card. For August the 26th, with the referee included. Nevada Athletic Commission is the best commission out there, and they have the best officials in place, and we're very happy.
Awesome. And last question, Floyd. The other big thing that came out yesterday, which you've kind of addressed, is the 8-ounce gloves. Obviously, you fought in 8-ounce gloves, but do you think that favors you or Conor more, the fact that they dropped the glove size down to 8 ounces, or how do you think that really affects the outcome of this fight?
I'm not really worried about the outcome. It's more worried about excitement. I understand he's used to fighting in 4-ounce gloves. If you go to my social media page, you'll see what I put out there to the world to see. You know, I said, you know, if you want to fight me, I want to make him feel comfortable as possible. I'm not going to have any excuses, and I don't want him to have any excuses.
Thanks, Floyd.
Our next question is coming from Morgan Campbell of Toronto Star.
Hey, this question is for Floyd. Floyd, what are really, really curious about, you know, now that you're 40, last time you fought, you were 38, how has the process of training and recovery changed as you've aged?
You know, it's difficult. It's not really the same. But, you know, I think with age comes wisdom. You know, just, you know, knowing your body. You know, when I was younger, and I talked about this media day, just knowing your body. You're young, it's fight, 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 fight. Never let the body recoup or rejuvenate. Whereas I'm older, so resting is very, 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 very important. So I work extremely hard still at the age of 40, but I'm letting the body rest a lot more. And that's why, you know, you guys seen on All Access, you seen I was taking yoga. I have a whole team, you know, that, you know, when I'm resting, they help me keep my body intact and in order.
Okay, so then looking at your interview with Stephen A. Smith from the other week, he said, yeah, Connor's a lot younger. I'm slipping. I've lost a step. Like, how much do you really believe that, and how much are you saying that to generate interest in the fight from the standpoint that it seems more even if you can sell the idea that you've slipped?
Well, I'm just being honest. I don't think that I'm the same Floyd Mayweather that I was 21 years ago. Of course not. And I don't think that I'm the same Floyd Mayweather that I was 10 years ago. I'm not even the same Floyd Mayweather that I was 5 or 2 years ago. But I still said that I still have a high IQ in that ring. And I said, you know, experience-wise, it leans towards me, you know, just period. Most time when I go out there and compete against any fighter, experience will always lean towards me because I have, you know, I've been in the ring and been at such a high level for so long.
Okay, thank you, Floyd.
Thank you.
Our next question is from John Elegant of New York Times.
Hi, Floyd. Last year in that Fight Hype interview, you said when you were referring to Tim McGregor, you were saying, quote, "They say he talk a lot of trash and people praise him for it, but when he did it, when I did it, they say I'm cocky and arrogant, so biased. Like I said before, all I'm saying is this, I ain't racist at all, but I'm telling you racism still exists." And I was curious, now that you've been through like this press tour and whatnot with McGregor, how do you feel fans or maybe even others, maybe journalists or others in boxing, how do you feel that they treat you all differently and do you believe you're racist at all?
I know the phone kind of messed up. Say it. Hello?
I'm sorry. Did you hear the last part of the question?
It's just like at the end, I didn't hear the end part. You said about the writers,
yeah.
The writers in the media.
Yeah, I was saying, now that you've been through like this press tour and everything with McGregor, how do you feel the fans or maybe even others, maybe writers or other people in boxing, how do you feel that they treat you all differently, you and McGregor differently? And do you believe that race plays any role in that?
I mean, I'm not going to even really touch on that anymore. I spoke on that. And I'm going to leave it where I left it. You know, I spoke about that before. I'm going to let Leonard Ellerbe kind of touch on that subject. Because, you know, he's a student. Leonard, go ahead and touch on that subject.
Yes, and as you know, the things that he was saying, it was, you know, the back and forth banter, you know, it's trash talk, you know, and I'm sure that whatever was left on the press tour, that's where it was at.
Yeah, and I guess
Boy's focus is fighting next week and putting on a great performance for all the fans across the world. That's where we are at.
Yeah, and I guess I was referring to the comments, not necessarily on the press tour, but the ones that he gave to Fight Hype last year, and I think it resonated with a lot of black folks who I talked to in the sense that you spoke to really a double standard that I think a lot of black people in America feel. So I was just kind of curious if you saw that.
And there are double standards out there, but you know that goes on with anything. That goes on with anything. There's a high awareness out there that the public. There's a lot of things that goes on. You know, again, his focus is next Saturday and going on there and putting on an electrifying performance in front of his fans. That's where we at.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Luke Reddy of BBC Sports.
Hi, Floyd. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. We've been over to Dublin, to Ireland, to chat to some people who know Conor McGregor and have grown up with him. And a few of them have told us that you were one of his idols. He used to study videos of you, your pull counter and various punches. I wonder, when you've been stood with him, do you see anything of you in him when you've spoken and been a few feet away from each other?
I don't think there's no fighter that's in this, just in, combat sports period. That's in combat sports right now that hasn't looked at a Floyd Mayweather video or studied a Floyd Mayweather fight. I mean, at least I don't think so, because I think this is the Mayweather era, and I was so dominant in my era. So when a person has been so dominant in his era, I think other fighters are going to pay attention, or other mixed MMA fighters are going to pay attention, because they want to be in the, they want to be at that same level, and they want to do the same thing. They want to dominate with ease.
Do you see anything in the character between you and him when you're kind of interacting? Similarities at all?
I mean, not really. I mean, of course, I was, I'm huge in boxing, but I'm huge in MMA also. You know, I'm huge in both. What I'm saying, my name is huge in MMA, but I'm, I made a crazy name in the sport of boxing. But it's crazy that, you know, I've been working so hard throughout the years that I end up having a big name in MMA also. So even though I never competed in the MMA, I'm still a big name in the MMA.
And Stephen Espinoza pointed to something earlier on. He said how you took a big risk early on in your career. Given the point you're both at now, who is taking the bigger risk here?
I truly believe I'm taking a bigger risk. I mean, but it's a big reward for both. But I'm taking a bigger risk. You know, I have the 49-0 record. And, you know, when a fighter has lost before, if he loses again, they say, oh, it's nothing. He lost before. But when a fighter has been dominating for 20-some years, never lost, everything is on the line. My legacy, my boxing record, everything is on the line.
Okay. Have you considered, like, when you say there's so much on the line, I mean, have you stopped at any point and kind of thought, you know, wow, there is a whole lifetime's work here that I am putting out there, or do you kind of not let it enter your mind?
I just try to focus on just being positive and, you know, just worry about going out there and doing what I do best. You know, I try not to think about losing or taking an L. You know, that's not really my focus. You know, every day, you know, I tell myself I'm a winner. I was born to be a winner at life, not just in the ring, but I was born to be a winner. So whatever I do, I try to give it 100%, and I try to push myself to the limit. But like Stephen said, it's all about taking risks. And I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't take risks. So I don't mind putting the 49-0 record on the line. I don't mind, putting everything on the line, for this fight. I feel like it's worth it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, this is the last question, Floyd. One more and we're good to go. Operator, go ahead.
And that question comes from Salvador Rodriguez of ESPN Deportes.
Hello, Floyd. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
How important is for you make the 50 victory in your career, one more over the Rocky Marciano record?
I don't really try to focus on no other fighter, but I'm appreciative for every fighter, and you know that paved the way for me to be where I'm at. I always talk about I appreciate the legendary fighters, even though this is number 50. This is my 50th fight. You know, that's not really my focus. My focus is to go out there and get the fans an exciting fight. Even though I know this is number 50, and we're constantly talking about Rocky Marciano, I just always like to let the fans and the people know Rocky Marciano is a legend. Rocky Marciano did it his way. And you know, I just like to try to do it the Mayweather way.
Thank you so much, and good luck next August 26th. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Any last closing comments, Floyd, and we will wrap this up.
I just want to say thank you to everybody. I want to say thank you, Leonard. I want to thank Showtime. I want to thank CBS. I want to thank Kelly Swanson. I've got to thank Al Hammond And I want to thank everybody that called in, all the writers, all the bloggers, everyone from the MMA world, everybody from the boxing world, everybody from the sports world. I just really want to say thank you. And me and my team, and that's all, we all appreciate you guys. Talk to you later.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon. Thanks, Leonard. Thanks, Stephen. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our program. You may now disconnect.